Paul, first things first, have you still got all your money in your pocket?
Well, she's been spending this week, but other than that, I'd say yeah.
I was meaning from the RFL.
Oh, right, sorry. Yeah. I've had a phone call from the RFL, after a return call, but I knew what had been said, so I'll keep it to myself.
You were emotional after the game.
I was angry.
Angry?
It's emotion, isn't it?
Your feelings changed having reviewed the game, or is there nothing
you've
calmed
down? I've calmed down, and I'm still angry. I'm still angry because of the reasons I gave at the time, and it's something I wasn't happy with, but it's something we have to move on from. If I let that emotion get me down, or become my sole focus, it'll get the place down, because I'll be blaming other people. The reality of it is, we should have had 30 men on the field for 80 minutes, not 60 minutes or 62 minutes, whatever it is. And I just want the game to be refereed to the rule book or the policy or whatever it is that we decide we're going to run to these days.
Looking at that, I mean, is that something you're going to advise your captain to do now, to be in the referee's ear even more so?
Absolutely. One of the things that disappointed me was, at the time, we conceded a try or a drop goal, whatever it was, and Ryan Hinchcliffe went to talk to the referee and he just waved him away. Danny Brough got a knock. And I spoke to people and said I can understand how it looks, but Danny Brough got a knock and he was talking to the physio under the sticks and they told him to get out of the back. But I wanted some consistency more than anything, and I don't want that from us. And that's, I don't want to talk about the official anymore, that is what it is. I've made my feelings known on that one. My attack wasn't mainly based at the official. My rant, or whatever, which way you want to put it, was based around that somebody somewhere planted a seed in that man's head for the ruck to become to differently. And what generally happens on the thing is a 4-3 penalty count at half time, which turned into 7-1 in the second half in a 10-5 overall. So the penalty count against us was 2-1 and a 7-1 in the second half. So we only had 12 sets with the ball. So all I want to know is if you're offside, penalise it. If it's scruffy at the ruck, penalise it. And if it's a high shot, penalise it. But penalise them all. Not just when you choose to want to penalise them. Because there's always something wrong in every ruck. But the policy states that the referee has discretion what he wants to penalise or not. Now, until we get to a point where we have 50 penalties a game, which nobody wants, but it has to go back to that point where everything has to be penalised until everybody learns that you can't do that, you can't do that, and the rules aren't there to be flaunted. Which we all do. If you're not cheating, you're not trying in a lot of respects. So that's, everybody tries to flaunt the rules in some respect. Every team tries to work on the weakness of an opposition or perceived weakness of opposition. And that's what teams are doing at the minute. They're working on the perceived weakness of the policy that the referees worked on. Because they have what I think the policy states, something like that they've got something in there to create a fast and open game. And if they have, I think the word is discretion. Until you get to a point where you're going to referee it and make everybody aware what's acceptable and what's not, rather than what's discretionary and what's not, I think you're going to have issues.
Okay.
And that's been my theory for a while. And you can ask Steve Ganson, even John Sharp before that. Until you get to a point where you're refereeing the rule book or you're refereeing the policy, I don't know. So that's the thing. There's a rule book there that says offside's offside, penalties are penalties, blah, blah, blah. But then there's a policy said they've got discretion whether they want to impose that or not. That's my calm approach on it.
Very impressed. Let's have a look at what happened on the pitch. I think anyone watching the game wouldn't have realised who was top, who was bottom. You wanted more from your team. Did you get more on Thursday?
Yeah, I think we saw some things in there. We saw some real good things in there. When we had opportunities to play, I thought we looked pretty sharp and pretty clinical. And that's the thing in them games, when you get opportunities, you have to take them, and I think we did. We just got to take them. That's got to be the thing. We said it against Warrington, is that you show some patience, you get two opportunities. If you only get two opportunities in big games, you've got to make sure you take them. And I think we had opportunities to even be further in front before half time, and just after half time, for reasons which are well documented, we didn't quite go with Wigan.
Looking at it, you know, some fine attacking performances. Leroy Cudjoe stood out, and Ryan Briley getting his tries. You must have been delighted with that.
I've got great faith and great confidence in all our players, regardless of who they are or what age they are or what experience they are. And seeing people backing themselves and using the natural abilities to be able to put things on. I think it's a great thing to see. And Leroy, we spoke to Leroy before the game, and I said to him, I said, mate, these young fellas on that their left edge won't be able to handle somebody as big and physical as you, and that was the case. Every time he got the opportunity, he looked dangerous. And the way he carries the ball, it's a nightmare for the wingers. You look at the first try, it's a nightmare for Lewis Tierney on the wing, because he didn't know whether he was going to run or he was going to pass it. He holds it like a peanut, doesn't he? And he's had one or two times this year where he's probably not had the balance in his game and he's looked too much to offload, which has hurt us. But I thought he's got, I think when Leroy's on song and he's confident and backing himself, he is a world class player.
In your other centre, Jake Connor can play in that position, but he got an injury. How's he looking?
Oh, Jake's actually trained today.
Has he?
Yeah, it's the double fracture spirals and stuff like that he had is now turned into a bruise. So he was x-rayed on Friday, and because of the weekend, it wasn't really ready until Monday, which we're not happy with. But he's been in a boot all weekend, which probably helped him. And the physios and whatever are working the magic with him, and he's trained today. We'll see how he responds tomorrow, and then we'll see what come team announcement on Thursday.
Not such good news for Craig Huber.
No, he's if he didn't have bad luck, he'd have no luck at the moment on Chubbs. Working his balls off with Chubbs and cutting to some cover, and he's tried to make a tackle, and he's ended up in an awkward position where he's ended up like this sort of way, and he's ended up tearing his pec, and there's two ligaments in there, there's a major and a minor, I believe. I might have got the words wrong there, but there's not much more left of either of them. So he saw the surgeon yesterday, and they don't mess about these blocks with the money they charge, so he'll be operated on tomorrow, and he's probably going to be looking at probably minimum 12 weeks, which is probably end of July, beginning of August type stuff.
So he's gone.
Yeah.
You obviously lost line last week. You're looking a bit light again on numbers.
Well, yeah, like I say, I'm not looking light, but it's as a squad we are, I think we've always known that, and there's reasons why we're that way, which some are not our doing and some are our doing, and I'll keep them reasons to myself. But we're looking out for players, and it's one of them where it's, you ask me this question every week and it's the same answer. It's I'm imagining people seeing great joy in seeing Huddersfield where they are, and why would they want to help us? We, as a club, as chairman and chief executive and board, I want to strengthen our squad. We're just unable to do it at the moment, because there's just nobody wants to release the players, because there is a shortage of players out there. But, and it's not for want of trying, I can believe it.
And the board obviously understand your predicament. You need more bodies, but
that's not my concern. I can't worry about what the board think about my predicament and everything like that. I've got a good relationship with my managing director, and I've got a good relationship with my chairman, and it's an honest one. And they understand where we're at, and they're desperate to try and help us and bring players in. But if you can, like I said to you, if you find any knocking around, let me know, because we'll quite easily have a good look at them.
Huge game this week. Yeah. Is it do or die, Paul?
No. I think it's a big 2 weeks for us. It's an easy 2 weeks in regards to our work. We know what we're doing. So it's going to be strange. It's going to be difficult, but that's our challenge. We've got to make sure next week we're fully aware of what's at stake, and then we have to do the same again next week.
Leeds are in a similar predicament to you. What type of game are you expecting?
I think they are. I think we had a very, very close game at Huddersfield, which was, once again, there was some controversy in that with fingernails and what have you, which, once again, consistency. That was awarded that week, but it wasn't awarded for Wigan this week. So, anyway.
You have to stop talking about referees, Paul. It's getting you down.
No, been married for 20 years, that gets you down. Yeah, but like I said, we've had some fair ding-dong battles over the years, and we get to do it over the next couple of weeks, so we should have some familiarity come 2 weeks' time, shouldn't we?
Should do. People are saying, if you could win one, which one would you win? Obviously, you want to win them both. Can you prioritise? Is it just one win this week and whatever happens, and the cup will take care of itself?
I want 2 points this week, that's all I'm bothered about. If you start getting in about what's happening in the future, then you lose your focus on the now, and there's too many people's decisions are made on what could happen rather than what actually is happening. What is happening is what you make happen. So we've got to make sure we get 2 points on Friday. And if we do that, we'll have some confidence going into the Challenge Cup, because we're at home again. We know where we are. We've won our games here this year. Won a couple of games here this year. So, and it's Challenge Cup. There's some good offers out there for tickets. So we've got to make sure that we can fill the place. And we've got to give the fans something to come and want to watch as well.
because while everyone's writing your season off, obviously, you know, the cup is still there for everyone to win, isn't it?
Massive. It's massive, yeah. And I've been there a few times myself as a player. I've been there once as an assistant coach to Wembley. Sorry, I've won the cup a few times as a player. I've never been to Wembley, but I've been there as an assistant coach with Brownie when we went in 2009 with Huddersfield. And it's a spectacular thing to do.